So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to 90 Day Fiancé MK. I'm Mr. O, and today, Ms. H and I will be discussing Season 8, Episode 13 of 90 Day Fiancé. In this episode, Natalie goes dress shopping on the down low, Brandon doesn't know anything about what's going on with the wedding, Rebecca tries to call Ziad's Ramadan bluff, Hazel is holding a grudge against Tariq and Minty, Amira makes a decision about Serbia, Jovi is on better behavior before his bachelor party, and Harris is ready to follow Stephanie just about anywhere. As always, we'll end with our Students of the Week, class dunces, and life lessons. If you like what you hear, please support us by subscribing and leaving a 5-star rating. And if you also watch Love After Lockup, you should listen to our other podcast, Love After Lockup MK. All right, thanks for listening, stay safe, and enjoy!
Mr. O.
Hello, Miss H.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. So we're recording this on, March 8th, which I suppose is International Women's Day?
It is!
Happy International Women's Day, because you're a woman.
Thank you. Thank you. I am. Thank you. Right. So what else is going on with you?
Oh, not much. You know, just getting grinding away through, right?
I think yes.
This is it. March is the longest month of the year.
Right.
It's the longest month of most years, and especially having to relive, you know, memories of last March. It's really going to be a slog this time.
Right. So we have some news. Love After Lockup is coming to an end for the season and a hiatus. So it looks like in about 2 weeks, we'll be starting up a new classic season. And what are we on now?
It is going to be before the 90 Days Season 1.
Yes, which I'm very excited for Mr. O to watch because he has not seen it from the beginning. And this is where, you know, you've seen it. Train wrecks. We're introduced to Darcy. You'll see it from the beginning.
Right. We get to, I'll see the things that I've, for Darcy at least, I've only seen in like the black and white flashbacks. They show it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, 100 million times. You're going to watch this and be like, I feel like I've already seen this.
I feel like
season.
I've seen this before. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. All right. So let's start with these couples and I'll get the boring one out of the way. Rebecca and Ziad. So Ziad is hanging around outside Rebecca's restaurant so she can get him some lunch and have a talk. She wants to talk more about this getting married before Ramadan thing, which has caused some tension since they talked about it last night. She is shocked by this shortcutting of the wedding process and tells him that she isn't going to move the wedding forward. Ziad says that as an Arabic man, it's very important for his religion. But Rebecca feels like he's picking and choosing which religious tenets he's willing to follow.
Oh, you think?
So she's getting some, again, vibes like from her Moroccan ex. She has a whole list of reasons she's not going to go doing to rush the marriage to before Ramadan. So she takes the other option. Fine. If you can't live together during Ramadan, you can go find another place to stay. Ziad picks up that, you know, Rebecca doesn't believe him and thinks that he wants to get married sooner for scammy reasons, not legitimate reasons. So then he mentions that maybe he'll go stay in Tunisia for Ramadan. Rebecca points out that this is the third time he's threatened or, you know, talked about going back to his country. And then she has to go back to work because her break is over. So, I don't know. Do you think Ziad is being unnecessarily picky and choosy about what parts of Islam he's following right now?
Well, hello, pot meet kettle. You know, like Rebecca does the exact same thing.
Right.
You know, it's like whenever it's convenient for her to talk about, you know, Tunisian culture, you know, in front of Hannah and, you know, the flirting, it's like, oh, you know, like bringing up like it's not appropriate for single people to be hanging out. Like she does the exact same thing. But then, oh, but we're in America now. You have to be okay with tattoos and you have to be okay with, you know, like me working and, you know, stuff like that. So it's just like, okay, you know, yes, you are right. Ziad is picking and choosing what he wants to follow when, you know, he's been lax about other things. But you do it too. So you can't get mad at him for it.
Right. I was thinking that's the exact same thing. It's like when Hannah wants to talk, it's like, no, you're Muslim. You can't talk to single women. They can't come sure. over the house. And it's like, oh, well, as a Muslim, I also can't stay with unmarried women during Ramadan. Nope, that's not acceptable. Nope. You're an American now. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, when she brings up you're Muslim or you're in America, it's very situational.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't see why they can't troubleshoot this problem, right?
Right.
Like, there's got to be some place that she could go. Like, what about her bestie, the other PI lady she rolls up with?
Oh, yeah. But it's like, she's not interested in solving the problem. She's interested in having a solution that's not feasible for him so that he has to give in and do it her way.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I don't think I quite get multiple people on this season, their reluctance to just do the courthouse. We'll do the courthouse thing now. We'll have a real ceremony later. Like, just let's go.
Yeah. How many friends do I have that have done the exact same thing? Like, they had something planned, you know, September-ish time, you know, even summertime, right? They waited to the kind of last minute, realized, okay, this is like simply not going to happen. They all got married at a courthouse and they're planning, you know, 2022 to have a bigger thing. Like, I can think of four people off the top of my head that's happened to.
Right. And it's just, I don't get her. Because, and then the other thing too, well, I'm not going to be rushed into this, but you've already committed to it.
Right.
Like, I don't understand. Like, you're getting married, like, so I don't understand. You accept that you're getting married, but like that whole, no, we have to wait until the 89th day. That's when we need to do it. So I have the most time to. So I know that you're serious about it. Because if you wait 3 months, I know you're serious. But if you're only waiting 1 month, then I know it's a scam. I was very confused by it.
Right. And I kind of feel like this is another example of Rebecca kind of being hypocritical about it. If he said, okay, well, this resort that you want to go get married at is free in 2 weeks before Ramadan. You want to get married here? She would probably be like, okay, because now it's like the dream wedding.
I don't know. I just think she can't put together the dream wedding in 2 weeks either.
Mm,
right? See, there's possibly more to it than just the place. She's got to get her dress and the thing. But
if she gets it catered by Joella's, then, you know, she's set.
Well, it's got the new hot chicken sandwich that Ziev wanted to try. I actually wanted to try that hot chicken sandwich. That sounded really good.
Is that a chain?
I don't know. I've never heard of it. They don't have it here if it is a chain.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard of it.
I like hot chicken. Like, that's the only reason to go to Nashville. Like, hot chicken.
Well, I mean, they're not Nashville, but, you know.
I know. It's not the same. Maybe it's not Nashville hot chicken. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Mike and Natalie. So Mike thinks things are good because Natalie isn't fixating on the past. They're preparing a surprise birthday for banished Uncle Bo. The next door neighbor, Tamara, has bought a cake. And soon after, Bo walks in and, by the way, doesn't seem to be too surprised. He's all smiles as he blows out the candle to his cake. Later, Mike and Natalie go fishing. Natalie says she really wants to enjoy it and she's getting nervous because her visa is almost expired and he hasn't given her the ring back and they haven't really discussed a new date yet. Mike is showing Natalie how to fish and says it's good, clean fun. Natalie then brings up that they have 3 weeks left and she's nervous because the courts are closed and she doesn't want anything illegal. Michael says that they just need to focus on making progress. Otherwise, there's no wedding. And as soon as he says that, she sticks out her lower lip in a pout. Mike points out that they have had rough spots and he will only say that they are heading in the right direction. Natalie says she has no other options but to wait on him to decide because it takes two people to get married. Well, she says that, but then decides that if this wedding's going to happen, she has to do her part. So she drives by herself to a dress shop because it's the last day the shop is going to be open because of COVID restrictions. Natalie is excited to be dress shopping. The sales lady asks her some basic questions like, is this an outdoor wedding? What's the timeline? But Natalie can't answer them. They reassure her, though, that a lot of brides do a bigger wedding later, so there's no pressure to make this one perfect, which makes Natalie feel much better. Natalie video calls her mom from the bridal shop to show her some dresses. Natalie's mom has no idea about their issues. Natalie's mom asks her when the wedding is, and Natalie doesn't really answer her. She's embarrassed and doesn't know what to say, so she blames it on COVID. Natalie doesn't end up buying the dress because it's too expensive to risk if the wedding won't happen. Back at the house, Mike and Natalie awkwardly hang out in the living room. Mike tells us that there's no way they will work out their problems in just 2 weeks, but they have to come to a decision. He starts off the conversation with Natalie saying that COVID has made everything crazy right now. He uses that to say he doesn't know when the best time to do anything is, as he just kind of holds out the ring for Natalie. Natalie says, "Well, maybe you ask me?" And he asks her to be his fiance again. She asks if he can forget the past, and Mike seems confused and tells her that she's ruining it. Natalie says it's important that she knows he forgives her. Mike thinks that she's just nitpicking and not enjoying what should be a happy moment. Mike says he doesn't forgive her, and Natalie is stunned because she thought they were starting fresh. Mike asks again if she wants to be his fiance and asks her to stick her finger out. He then charges her $1 for a kiss. Natalie doesn't care, though, because she has the ring back and Mike only cares about non-social distancing sex. Okay, if Mike hasn't forgiven Natalie for what happened in Ukraine or Russia?
Yeah, it was Ukraine. It was Ukraine. Kyiv. Yeah.
With all the arguments they've had, why is this the first time we're hearing about it?
Wait, I thought he hadn't forgiven her for like throwing the ring back at him. Like, I thought that was specifically what he was not forgiving.
Yeah, but that happened in Ukraine, right?
Yes, that happened in Ukraine. And I thought I don't know, I kind of understood that that he had not forgiven her for that. But it didn't seem like something that she was preoccupied with or even concerned with until he offered her the ring back. Because she was like, when are you going to give me the ring? When is he going to give me the ring? But I think that's also because she assumed that when he did give her the ring, that was the act of like forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I was, again, I get confused by people when they're doing
Well, then stuff like specifically, this. Because I feel like every time we see them arguing, it's like a different facet of the same problem.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, like, even with this whole Sarah thing, I felt like that came out of left field. Like, wait, we're worried about this now? And I thought we were worried about something else, but I don't know. I just feel like the fact that he hasn't forgiven her for that, I mean, he even says it now. He says explicitly he hasn't forgiven her for that. I feel like that has not been part of these conversations.
No, but it's also really weird that he was like, I haven't forgiven you for that. Now put out your hand so I can put this ring on it. Like, it's like the back and forth that just really, you know, zigzagging in their conversation of, I hate you. Here's a hug. Like, here's a ring, but I don't forgive you. Also, let's go have sex.
Well, the other thing with him is that I feel like he's the kind of guy that is just constantly joking around. And so I'm someone who constantly misinterprets people who constantly joke around because I'm totally. Like, are they serious?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I'm the same way. I don't know how to take it a lot of the times.
So right. I'm like, I think you're joking, but I don't really know. Right. You're giving me no clues on the face.
Yeah, no clues. I feel like when, you know, he body slams her into the bed, though, that he's ready to get going. It was really hard body slam. Right. He did not let her down gently at all.
Yeah, I know, right? I was thinking that too. I think I had that thought. I was like, oh, I feel like that would kind of hurt depending on what kind of mattress you had.
Yes. Like, if you forgot you left something in the bed, you just lay it. Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. But I feel bad for her too because English is not her first language.
Yes.
I'm sure that it's even harder for her to kind of pick up on if he's joking or being serious.
Right, because he does that really deadpan type kid. He doesn't do sarcasm with like heavy emphasis. Right. And so I could see that being extremely hard to interpret. Because when his mom came, she had said that. Like they made jokes about each other and she was like, are you guys fighting? And they're like, no, what are you talking about? She's like, I'm so confused.
I also feel like it is incredibly difficult when he doesn't give any facial cues because I could see body language as being a good indicator if you're not familiar with someone's language, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's not making things easy.
It isn't because – and especially for me because I have a very expressive face.
Mm-hmm.
And so like dealing with people who aren't like showing like all of their emotions on their face at all times is very difficult for me as well.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So anyway, let's move on to, let's go Brandon and Julia.
Ah.
The rest of mine are all
I know, but Brandon specifically, oh my gosh, he drove me absolutely nuts.
He did. Oh man. We're going to talk about it after the wedding dress shopping last week. Now it's time to look at churches, even though it's March of 2020, and we know that the church probably won't be functioning for much longer. Senior warden Patty shows them a church, and Julia falls in love with it. She really wants to get married in a church, and this one really fits the bill. They explain that, you know, her side of the aisle will be pretty much empty because her family won't be able to make it. But Betty says they are expecting about 50 to 70 people altogether, which is a surprise to Julia and also to Brandon, who seems to have no clue who is getting invited to this wedding. They joke that maybe he'll do better the second time they have to plan a wedding.
Good for you, Julia.
Yeah, I know. They talk dresses and the prospect of Mother's Day rears its ugly head again. This time it's a little more reasonable because Patty says that's a super busy Saturday for them at the church, so they're not sure they can fit a wedding in, so there better be a really good reason they picked that date. So she asks what the significance of the 9th is, and Brandon is like, because it's Julia's favorite number? But nope, idiot. That's not the reason, dummy. Brandon completely blanks on what the reason is. Everyone stands around awkwardly watching him try to think of it. And Julia finally tells us, and Patty, that it's actually the date that Brandon sent his "you look like my future wife" text that kind of got their relationship kicked off. Julia is becoming increasingly distraught that Brandon doesn't seem to be interested in or care about planning this wedding even a little bit. And it makes her feel like he doesn't want to marry her, and she tells him as much. They have a conversation in the back pew of a church where she tells him that she's concerned that his mother is doing more wedding planning than him. So after all, so now who is it she's marrying, Brandon or Betty? Brandon says that ceremony just isn't his thing. And he wasn't the one that came up with the ceremony. He wasn't the one that wanted this. It was her. She tries to say she doesn't care and she can get married at the wedding, but that's not true. Then he says that you're just upset because I don't share the female fantasy of a wedding day.
Oh, so much anger after that comment.
And she just wants him to be something that he's not. He seems to almost get it because when she asks, why are you doing this? It's like, I'm doing it to make you happy, right? But he doesn't seem to recognize that in order to actually do something to make somebody else happy, you actually have to do something to make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you got into it. What is this guy's problem, man? What's up?
Selfish. I mean, immature and selfish. I mean, that's really the only thing that I can really come up with, because I think the selfish part is that he only wants to be interested in things that he's interested in.
Yes.
Right? That's unreasonable. In a partnership, you're a team.
You focus on what's important, but you need to, I'm focusing on this because it's important to you.
Right. Like,
so the word almost I would use that I kept thinking of is it's almost lazy.
Well, that like, too, I mean, yeah.
You know, we are both teachers and we have to deal with students who are like, I don't want to learn this.
Right?
And it's like, well, tough shit. You got to learn it. You got to pass this class to graduate. Sorry. Like, you don't get to decide. I'm just not going to do this anymore.
Right.
Because it's boring. And that usually gets classified as being lazy.
Well, and I think the attitude is also kind of immature, because the other thing about I'm not going to fake this because this isn't who I am. It's like, fake what? How is this changing who you are just to act happy?
Yeah, it's act happy, and it's like, be aware. How many people are inviting to the wedding, Brandon? Who's coming?
Right.
Like, what date are we having the wedding? Like, those are just things like, does he think that everybody, when they sit down to do their taxes, is like, oh boy, this is me personally. I really love my taxes, so I'm going to sit down here and do it. Like, sorry, life is doing stuff that you aren't particularly interested in, but still knowing what date it's due and how many people are coming to it. Like, those are things that it doesn't make any sense to me to see something that your partner is so invested and so interested in and just be like, nah, I don't want to. And I don't feel like it. And to define that as being something that defines you personally.
Yes, that was the thing that was just so immature to me. It's like, how is acting just okay? Forget about acting. Just being a positive person in life. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so you're trying to say that that's not who you are. Maybe that's who you should be.
Right. I think a lot of it comes down to just it really fits Brandon's thing. Because if you talk about who he is and who he isn't, mm-hmm. he is not someone who is in touch with what he wants. Right.
No.
And everything about planning the wedding is, what do you want? What dress did you like? What flowers did you like? What invitations did you like? And he's like, I don't like anything. I don't like anything. And then, of course, and the way he's always handled that is he lets Betty make the decisions for him.
Right.
For everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so who's planning
and
the
wedding?
And
that's why he hasn't had to do that, right? He hasn't had to make decisions about things that he likes because he just goes along with whatever Betty does. And I feel like that is definitely coming out now that he's an adult. And
yes.
I feel like it's just going to get worse for him if he's working this out in their relationship. But I mean, forget all of that. Just the way he handled this conversation with Julia was so disgusting to me. He was like mocking her
super
while
condescending.
She's crying.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you are so rude.
Yeah. It was not comforting. It was not everything. It was like, you're the one who likes stupid things. I don't know why you're mad at me for liking your stupid shit. Like, you're the one who wanted this. And then he comes out female fantasy. Like, what do you think? I'm a woman?
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Come on, lady. Like, it was really bad.
Yeah. Oh, God. It was so misogynist. I was just like, I can't even handle you right now. Because, you know, and I just think there's implications to, like, bigger things there. But
sure.
Okay, let's go back to the date thing, okay? Not only is he an idiot, but in the interview, he says, you know, Julia's favorite number is 13 or 6. It's like, May 9th has neither of those numbers in. What is wrong with you?
5 and 9, which don't even add up to 13 or 6. Right? Subtract.
Like,
none of those
what
happened.
Is wrong with you? You're an idiot. He was like, so I thought it had something to do with her favorite number. It's like, oh my gosh, you are so dumb.
But I mean, I can see what she's like. She's like, why do you want to marry me if you seem so disinterested in our relationship that you can't even remember when we got together or why we picked our wedding date? Like,
well, let's back up. Yeah. Why does he want to marry her? It seems like the only thing that he really wants is a hot wife.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, and he definitely has, as we were kind of seeing with this, you know, women's fantasy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's going to have, you know, the idea of what role she's supposed to fulfill as his wife that mm-hmm. she might not be all that into.
Yeah, right. It just, I don't think he knows what he wants in a partner.
No, besides her being hot. You're right.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so I just, oh God, girl, run away. Don't do it. Run away.
Ugh.
All right. Speaking of other people that should probably run away, let's go with Stephanie and Harris. Harris
okay, that's
gotta
what
run
I,
away.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, I think I know which one you said should run away.
Stephanie asks Harris if she can hold his hand, and he agrees. They both sit down, and she almost immediately slips and calls him Ryan. Stephanie calls Harris her hero as she kisses him with her purse, because she has a purse that's shaped like lips, and then she gives him a real quick peck on the cheek. They both talk about how terrible Ryan is and how right Harris was about him. Stephanie then tells him that she always felt something for him, and the sex they had before was not revenge sex. It meant something. She tells us that Harris would contact her every day after they slept together, wanting to see how she was. Stephanie starts hashing out. I know, right? And other. Stephanie starts hashing out Harris's life and how he has children and a baby mama. Harris says that they have problems and ups and downs, and sometimes the baby mama leaves him. Harris is tired of it and is ready to move on. He thinks that, you know, everybody's on the same page, him, the baby mama, maybe even Stephanie. He says he can't force someone to love him. Stephanie is just so happy that Harris is there. She's going to ignore the fact that he has 3 kids and a baby mama. Stephanie wonders out loud, what would it have been like if Harris's name was on the visa instead of Ryan's? And Harris says, you wouldn't have to ask me twice. He believes that everyone is rich in America, and he would do a lot better there for himself. Stephanie and his family, he would do better for everyone. Stephanie wants to finish up her wine before they go back up to her room. She appreciates that Harris has taken a 7-hour bus ride to be there, and she wants to appreciate him? My God. Okay, so why do you think that Stephanie, having said that she has never met a man she wants to spend the rest of her life with, has all of a sudden come up with two men that she could see herself really being with in the future?
I mean, I guess I don't know, at this point, I buy her word that there's never been a man.
No, I call shenanigans on that shit so hard.
But especially the way she, like, you know, with Harris, she totally retconned everything that happened with Harris, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because the first time through, it was like, it was a huge mistake, and I was in such a fragile state, and he took advantage of me. And then she breaks up with Ryan and was like, actually, it wasn't about the sex at all, and we had this super deep connection, and I think it was a lot more than that. So it's like, I feel like as soon as she breaks up with all the guys that she could have seen herself with, she breaks up with them and is like, I actually never could have seen myself with him. It would never have worked. The whole time I knew that, like,
that is so true, because she really, like, oh, Harris meant nothing. What a terrible person. Yes. How could he do that to his family?
And then immediately was like, we had such a special connection.
I know, Ryan, what a terrible person. I can't believe he's part of your family.
Has there ever been a more obvious scammer on this entire show ever than Harris?
I don't think so. I know the production asks, like, leading questions. And I'm sure production was asking, you know, like, why would you want to move to America?
Yeah.
Well, everyone in America is rich. It's like, oh, God. Or I could see production even asking, do you think everyone in America is rich? Why don't you answer in a complete sentence, please?
Right. I'm just saying, there is no way that there is legitimate reason that this dude is this thirsty for this girl, for this lady, that he comes 7 hours on a bus.
I know. That's the crazy. Okay, so there goes our 7 hours. 7 hours on a bus. On a bus. I totally get that, right?
On a bus, yeah. I mean, 7 hours on a bus, you can't even get across town in some cities.
Oh, I know, right? So, yes, I get that. 7 hours for, like, a 7-hour bus booty call? Like,
that's because he wants more than the booty. He wants to slide right into, he wants to slide his name right onto that visa.
I know. It's like, you know, you can't pass off as Ryan. Like, you may have the same last name. I don't even know. Cousins, possibility, but you're not passing as Ryan. Like, what do you think is going on here, dude?
Yeah. And then it also frustrated. I thought it was hilarious how Stephanie kept, like, pretending like we all didn't know how that night was going to end.
I know, right?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'll just appreciate it. Maybe we'll see what happens.
Well,
I don't know.
Don't you want to freshen up? Like, you should relax. You've had a 7-hour bus ride.
It's like, maybe.
She's like, I'm just going to finish up my wine here. It's like, uh-huh, okay, right.
She literally says, well, we'll just see what happens. Like, we all know what's going to happen.
I know. You're not fooling anyone.
Oh, man, it was just so much. All right, so let's go with this one because you know how much I love Andrew.
Oh, God.
All right, Andrew and Amira. So Amira is still contemplating the Serbia plan, and she's not feeling great that the immigration lawyer said that the Serbia plan might work. She would rather wait and hope for the extension on the K-1 to be granted. Andrew tells us in an interview that they can't move forward until Amira makes a decision about Serbia. Andrew plays some lip service when they talk to her trauma before saying, but, you know, we're under a ticking clock. And he needs to know what direction we're going so I can plan things. I'm sorry. I feel like my voice is just going to all this whole time give my feelings for Andrew away.
Yeah.
Like, as if they were a mystery. Amira's hoping that Andrew would say something. It seems like Amira's hoping that Andrew would say something like, your safety is the most important thing, and we'll deal with it if the visa expires. But that's not in the cards. When Andrew wants something, he just asks until he gets his way. He says he doesn't envy the position she's in, and then Amira relents and agrees to do go to Serbia. She says that the most important thing to her is that she not lose Andrew. And who starts to praise her for making the right decision. He tells her, you're so brave, before they hang up. Next up, Amira is on her way to the airport for the Serbia plan. She is very clear that it's pressure from Andrew that makes her feel forced into doing this. She breaks down on the way to the airport because in order to do this, she's giving up her friends and family who don't support the plan. She's scared to have to spend 14 days alone in Belgrade, but is excited for all the makeup stores in the U.S. and the possibility to live in cities that Andrew doesn't live in. She says she's, you know, doing crazy things, but it's all out of love. Once she takes off, we flip back to Andrew checking on her flight status. The flight has landed, but he's nervous that that she might have a similar experience that she had in Mexico. Thankfully, she makes it through customs, and production catches her leaving the airport and getting into a car. Now she says she finally can feel hope that things will go well this time, but is still pretty scared to be stuck in a big hotel room in a country that she doesn't know anything about. So Andrew calls her when she's finally in, as he says, Belgrade, and is happy, but Amelia is just not feeling it. She feels that Andrew does not understand or appreciate the sacrifices that she's made for him. So I guess my thing is, do you think Andrew not understands or appreciates, but cares that she sacrificed for him?
No, he doesn't give a crap. Yeah, but I have to say, as much as we have said, you know, how much we dislike Andrew, and for the most part, we've been Team Amira, I didn't like her as much after this episode.
No, I didn't like, I mean, so... I feel like, I mean, I didn't like her because she gave in. Like,
yes, that was part of it.
Like that, and to me, I it makes me feel like, what is up with this woman that she would give into this? Is she like normally that kind of a bunch of a pushover, or has Andrew like really just manipulated her into the point where she's just putty in his hands?
Well, that's the other reason why I felt not so fond feelings about Amira after this episode. It just seems like a lot of really shallow things, right? It just sounds like she really wants to be in America because of the makeup. I was like, why are you even saying that?
You're in France.
Yes, exactly that. Okay, it's not like the makeup. I'm pretty sure most of our major makeup companies here are French owned anyway, right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Ridiculous. And then the other thing with her saying that she wants to live in like all these other cities that are not his own. Let's back up here. Have they actually talked about moving? Because I cannot imagine Andrew moving away from his mother only because that's also his job.
Yep. Like she mentioned living in San Diego and Vegas, which are, you know, both sound great, but I don't see him leaving.
Him leaving either, because what kind of job is that guy going to get?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, it definitely is, because that's been the question I've had since the beginning of this is, what does this lady see in this dude?
I don't know.
Like, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense, because she keeps saying, I do it out of love. And, you know, this is something we always come back to. Please put in real words what it is you like about this person. And yeah. I don't know how she could do that.
I don't think she could either. And the like kind of cherry on the top for me was, she says that she gave up on her studies. It's like, for this guy?
For this guy?
Yeah, because he wants you here right now. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he just seems to have got her in a position, and this may be an easy position to get her into. I don't know, because this could be just her personally, where like she's just living in fear of how he would react to anything she does. Like, everything. So she says it's out of love, but it sounds to me like everything she does is out of fear.
And desperation. So I kind of feel like this is a life lesson right here. Any love that is really truly going to last can wait a year or two.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That was insanity that he's just like, we can't wait. Like, we have to know what my plans are going to be. And the thing that set me off about Andrew this time, because there's always something that sets me off.
For me, it's like, close your shirt, dude. I don't want to see that.
Well, I mean, he's got bad hair all over. All of his hair is bad hair.
All of his chest was like a completely different color than the rest of him. It's just like,
but his hair he's got like a frizzy man bun, and he needs to trim up the beard. There's a lot going on.
Okay,
but he kept saying, "You're so brave," like like she was a goddamn kid getting their cavity filled at a dentist. God. Oh, just be strong and brave, baby. Baby, baby, baby.
Oh, I hated so brave, that baby. Both of them are doing that.
So much.
Yeah, I thought it was especially gross, speaking of which, when he tells her, I think you made a good decision. It's like, yeah, because it was the decision you wanted her to make.
The right decision. Like, oh, thanks for making so the right gross. Decision, baby. God, oh, yeah. This guy.
So I just, yeah, these two. I mean, I feel like based on social media, it's not going to end well for them. Uh-huh. And at this point, I'm team no one.
I'm team, I hope, like, she can be made whole because she just seems like a broken person right now.
Yeah, it's not good. But yeah, like I said, team no one. All right, let's talk Tariq and Hazel. So Tariq is feeling discouraged about his interaction with Minnie. He worries that Hazel will have second thoughts about their marriage. Hazel wants to talk, and she tells him that she's mad. Tariq thinks it's going to be one of those talks. Hazel very reluctantly tells him she's mad because of Minnie. She feels like Minnie is trying to steal Tariq, and she feels stupid. Tariq defends the situation and says he thought she would help them, and it was obviously a bad idea because Hazel threw attitude from first sight. Hazel said of course she did because Minnie was disrespectful to her. Hazel says that X means no communication ever, as Tariq rolls his eyes. He asks her, how long is this going to go on? Wondering if she's always going to wonder and not have any trust in him. He thinks that she's trying to make him out to be a villain, and he hasn't even done anything. She thinks he's trying to get back with Minnie. Tariq then says he isn't, and she wonders why he's getting so defensive. Hazel worries that one day he may fall in love with Minnie. She doesn't believe Tariq at this point. The wedding is 2 weeks away now, so Hazel feels uncomfortable. He tries making small talk in the kitchen, but Hazel is just cold and distant. And Tariq says that this is ridiculous and she needs to get over it because they have family coming in soon. Tariq doesn't know how long this cold shoulder thing is going to last, but Hazel doesn't seem ready to be over it right then. Tariq goes on to try on tuxes with his friend Jake / wedding photographer. Tariq doesn't know what's going to happen with him and Hazel, but he knows that he's gonna look fly either way. Tariq is stressed because he left it to the last minute, so the tux will be ready also last minute. He tells Jake that they have been arguing a lot lately. Jake sides with Hazel and says checking on Minnie was stupid. He says he's not team Tariq right now. Jake gives him a reality check and says that Tariq is crazy. Jake asks if Tariq has any feelings for Minty, and Tariq takes a long pause before he says no. Jake encourages him to delete Minty's phone, and Tariq says, sure, I will do that, like, in the future. Tariq wonders what this will be like in the future, and he worries that if the trust isn't there in the relationship, that maybe they have bigger problems. Okay, so at this point, it definitely seems like they're both really kind of a reevaluating everything. What do you think that both of them are really truly getting out of this marriage? Like, what's their motivation to get married?
I don't know.
I think for her son and the possibility of just having a better life. But yeah. I don't really get what Tariq is getting out of this.
I mean, I don't either. Because, I mean, I thought this week specifically made Hazel seem like a really, really difficult person to have to work with.
Oh, yeah.
Even when she has a conversation, she kind of sits down. I'm mad.
About
what? Do you want to elaborate what you're mad about? About Minty. You want to give me some more there? Like, and then she does that and doesn't have a conversation and then just gives you the silent treatment. And he's like, "What? I don't know." And so it's a childish way of arguing. Like, we're never going to work things out if you're just like making me guess what you're mad about and then fix it in no ways. I mean, I think Hazel's biggest problem at the end of the day is she's super insecure about not being Ty.
Yeah.
And I think she's just like convinced that at some point there's going to be a Ty girl that he's going to leave her for, whether it's Minty now or some other girl later.
Yeah.
And so you're right. That's a good question. So what is she getting out of it? I guess sticking through for her son, but she seems to care that he hurts her too much for that. You know, she seems to genuinely like the guy, but is also convinced that she can't trust him.
Yeah.
But him, I don't know. I can't figure it out. What, unless he, besides, thinks she's hot. Like, I don't know what she's bringing to him.
Yeah, because I was going to say, I can see how he thinks he loves her, right? And I definitely feel like people get that way. Like, they're like, oh, I really love them. How could I, you know, there's a sense of loyalty. I love this person, so I need to stick with it. But at the same time, it's kind of like, yeah, but do you want to be a partner with someone who is going to get mad, not communicate exactly what it is, and then just make everything awkward and, like, uncomfortable?
Yeah, I mean, and there's not giving you no way to, like, solve the problem.
Right.
Right? No way to move forward at all. Just as, like, I just want to come into the room to let you know that I'm mad.
Yeah. Drop everything.
Yes.
Quit stop tearing up down those boxes.
Stop tearing down those boxes. Let me know I'm mad.
I just want you to know that I am mad. That is all.
Okay. Tuxedo shopping.
Yes.
Why did the clerk have masks on and neither one of them had masks on?
I don't know.
Oh, it drove me so nuts. I was like, because it was like May. And I was like, the early ones, it was like March and, you know, things. I'm like, okay, the first people, they told us not to wear masks. By May, everybody was wearing masks.
Well, I mean, at this point, I just make the assumption that most maskless scenes are, you
production
know, like,
saying, take off your mask.
Yeah, specific for the show and not like how it is. Like if you went in there as a customer, not on the show.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure it was one of those situations where they didn't let anyone else in at the time. Like, it was almost like a closed session.
So that's more of a gripe at production. I'm like, I feel like you could have produced a show where people were wearing masks when you filmed it in May of 2020. Like, whether or not it was actually, like, just to be like, because it's supposed to be a show. It's literally a reality show. Like,
right. So
it takes you out of the scene and, you know, because it's supposed to be like really, they're really talking to this clerk guy and nobody's wearing masks. It just doesn't.
I think it's just an audio thing, right? Like it is true. Like you can't hear as well. It's like muffled when you have a mask on. So
yeah,
I think they're doing it for the sake of, you know, the audience.
I feel like they could make something work.
Yeah, it's going to be weird, though, because, I mean, I was watching Law & Order SVU, and at the very beginning of the season, I mean, for the first couple episodes, I felt like they made an attempt to, like, have their characters wear masks.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, we're midway through the season, like, you rarely ever see anyone wearing masks, but I feel like it's going to be funny, like, from, you know, looking back at, like, a time capsule kind of situation, like, there's going to be these random shows, yeah, that are, like, going to be wearing masks, and you're gonna be like, what's up with this?
I have to tell kids about it later. Well, actually, let's hope we are, and they're still not wearing masks then. I don't know. I feel like it's going to stick around a lot more. I feel like it's going to be not
more
everybody's going to wear masks, but I think it's going to be a lot more common where if you have a cold or something, you just wear a mask.
Well, I hope so. I mean, where I am is got a pretty high Asian population, and I would say it's not uncommon to see people wearing masks prior to this.
Yeah.
To all of this.
I would agree with that. Same here. We also have a lot of high Asian population. But Yara and Jovi.
Yes.
So it seems like Yara and Jovi are getting along much better. And Jovi has been, you know, pretty good to her, piggybacking her around New Orleans and taking her on riverboat alligator tours. And, of course, going to the Coup de Vue parade for Mardi Gras. He's hoping he can keep her happy until the wedding and until he has to go off to work again. So soon after, it's wedding dress shopping time with Gwen, who's weirded out since she's shopping for a wedding dress for a wedding she's not even invited to. Now, the boutique they go to is just a regular dress shop. It's not a bridal boutique, since Yara is looking for something sleek and sexy because it's a Vegas wedding. So Yara has a big list of requirements for her dress, but not a lot of options. She wants something stylish, easy to deal with, and something that won't show her pregnant belly. After, you know, for the first dress, they comment on the high leg slit. Gwen starts to cry because she's, you know, not going to be able to have this experience of crying at the wedding. Yara tries to say it's not personal. I mean, it's not like just you that's not invited. Like, no one's invited. But she decides that since Gwen has been so welcoming to her around, that she does crack and invites her to come to the wedding. So now that Gwen is a lot happy, the second dress is that they put on is an easy winner for both Yara and Gwen. And, you know, now that Gwen is invited to the wedding and Yara is finally feels like she's like their wedding marriage is progressing forward. Everyone seems to be getting into that happy zone. But now it's the day before they have to leave for Vegas for the wedding. And Yara is recovering from a fall she had off screen. They took her to the doctor, and he said that everything with her and her baby is fine, but she's still feeling pretty rough. It's really a bad day for this to happen because, you know, Yara seems to look like she needs taken care of, but it's also the night of the bachelor party, which Jovi is pretty excited for. But, you know, new Jovi is actually considering Yara's feelings too and seems willing to stay home if that's what Yara wants. She feels like, you know, you've been pretty good, so you can go out for a little while. Maybe an hour and a half. All right, maybe 2 hours. 2.5. But she also asks him not to drink since they are leaving early the next morning. They settle on, all right, he can drink, but he shouldn't get drunk. And when they get to the bachelor party, they start off by getting a hand grenade, which looks like more drinks than he agreed to already. But, you know, this being New Orleans, they grab their drinks, walk down the street. Jovi still hasn't packed, and at this point, the flight leaves in 8 hours. Jovi knows that the only thing he's sure about tonight is that they're definitely going to end up at the strip club, which apparently he can find with his eyes closed. So after 2 to 3 hand grenades and that hour and a half Jovi promised, then he thinks there's just enough time for this party to get one quick visit to the strip club in. But his friend Klein, being the one who's married and with kids, is not into the strip club lifestyle anymore, and he leaves Jovi with Kaz, who's he believes is just going to get him into trouble. Jovi says he misses his strip club, which he used to go to 6 or 7 days a week. God. And he says he doesn't want to go home at 11 because what's the fun in that? So he burns through a big stack of bills and, you know, soon they're sitting at the table with strippers in their bottle service. And Kaz pays to have a stripper take Jovi to a private room. And as they walk up there, that's where the episode ends. So, is this the end of New Jovi?
I don't know. I don't think New Jovi was really like real anyway, right? He's temporary. He's just like a stand-in.
Stand-in Jovi.
Yeah.
I can pound through this for like 2 weeks.
Right? I feel like it's only been 2 weeks. Yes. I feel like he does want to be better. I just don't think he knows how. And I think there's going to reach a point where, I mean, at the end of the day, he's a selfish guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's gonna realize like, oh, like this is all for someone else, but I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the other way. I think he does want to get better and he knows how to do better. I think the 2 weeks have proven that he knows how to do better. He just doesn't want to more than he wants to.
Sure. I see what you're saying.
You know, like it's not a question of what could I be doing that would make her feel better. It's a matter of him like actually deciding, yes, it does mean more to me to get home to Yara than to go to the strip club again.
Yeah. Is it like a thing for New Orleans or Louisiana for people to have such interesting names? Like, I don't know a single Jovi, Kaz, or Klein.
Oh, Klein is definitely a last name.
Okay.
Like, and like Kaz, my bet is also a last name. Like it's Kozlowski or something like that. And everybody's called Kaz. Like dudes go by their last names all the time. So that's where Sullys and Murphs and, you know, things like
all
that
right,
come from.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
you know how guys are like that. And guys tend to have, when you have like a close knit, like a good group of guy friends that all go out drinking and stuff like that, they always end up with nicknames. Like, oh, that's Bean, and that's String Pole, and that's like, why? That's Pork Chop. It's like, why? Where did Pork Chop come from? Like, I can't even remember. We were like really drunk, but he's Pork Chop now. Like, what's Pork Chop's real name? Mike, I think.
I feel like it's a little bit better with Facebook nowadays for like knowing people's real names.
That's
right?
True. That's true. That's true. Because they don't put Pork Chop on their Facebook profile.
No, I'm sure they would not. Let's get back to Gwen. What a manipulative lady.
Ooh, I know. I mean, it seemed like she finally did it, right? I don't know. She said she did it out of like goodness, but I think she was just like,
calculus.
I am going to have to hear about not inviting you to this wedding for as long as I'm married.
Yep.
Like, and I don't want that.
I'm not.
She's like, the more she mentioned it, the more she was like, oh, she's never going to give this up, is she?
Nope, she is not. Yeah, she's the kind of lady that's going to guilt you for the rest of your life, too.
Oh, yes. She would definitely for Oh, I'm so glad I got to meet my new grandchild. If only I could have been there for your wedding.
You're like, that has nothing to do with that.
Yes, it's up. Oh, we come back. Okay, so what did you think of the dress, though?
It was all right. I mean,
I liked it.
Okay, the cut was fine. I'm like not really that into like sequins, so even the dress that what other wedding dress shopping did we see this week? I think it was Chevelle
Natalie?
From Quaylen and Chevelle. Yeah. Oh no, actually Natalie too. Like the sequined tops and just yeah. It's
well, that's
just not
everything.
My style.
But that's all of the dresses are like that now. Like I feel like when we see them.
I'm not really that into it. That's personal preference, personal taste.
I like this. I like the sleeves, though. That was one of the things I wouldn't have guessed of a dress with sleeves. Mm. I was like, oh, I thought that really worked.
Yeah.
Not everybody can pull that off.
Oh, but come on. Yara is beautiful. She would have looked great in any of those dresses.
That's true. That's also true.
Yeah. Even her concerned about her pregnant belly was just like, oh, God, that's like most people like just regular. After going on a juice cleanse for 3 days, that's most people.
Her pregnant belly was, oh man, Memorial Day weekend. Feeling bad. So, okay. It's just like, so what's going on is that they're trying to make us feel like he's going to have sex with the stripper, but it's just going to it's just a lap dance in a private room, right?
Yeah, and I feel like Yara isn't completely clueless that's going to happen. I do feel like she should have been clearer with her expectations because I feel like that's how Jovi was able to manage to get it to be, you know, what, 2.5 hours I think they finally agreed on?
Right, yes, yeah. But but it's definitely it's exhausting having to deal with somebody where you're like, okay, I have to think about every possibility. Like,
oh, I know, right?
No lap dances. Well, it wasn't a lap dance. It was a private room. No. Like that was a lap dance. Like, don't. You're trying to lawyer me on what I said not to do.
Yeah, I think it would be better just to give you a list of approved activities.
Yes, we need to whitelist Jovi's activities here.
Yeah. Oh goodness. All right. So let's see here. I think that's all from everyone, right?
Yeah, it's everybody. That's all of them.
Okay. So who was your student of the week then?
I don't know. Yara, I guess.
Yeah, I know. She
did end up at least smartly or nicely deciding to invite Gwen to the wedding. So she's still mostly getting what she wants.
Yeah.
But
I mean, and the friends. But I mean, I felt like.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because Kaz and Klein were coming, too. Yeah.
But she's being very considerate of what Jovi wants, right?
That's true.
She invited Jovi's friends and family, and she allowed him to go out without making it a huge hurdle or something that was like guilting him, right? She was trying to set some boundaries. I mean, she didn't do that part very well, but I mean, she didn't say, no, you can't go.
Yes. Yeah. That would have been too much.
Yeah.
Because at some point it's like, well, why am I being good all the time? Like,
right.
I get nothing ever.
Yeah, that's true. What about your dunce? I think we might agree on this. Yep, agreed.
Yeah. So it just, oh man.
Just the
super
mocking.
Condescending. Just the mocking. And I just, his logic didn't make any sense except to the most selfish person imaginable.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like you would totally be on the same page.
Ask me to pay attention to something I don't like.
Oh, yeah. You would totally relate to Brandon and disagree with us if, you know, like you're super selfish. You're like, oh, yeah. Why would I ever do anything that I wouldn't want to do that's not being true to myself?
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of the female fantasy. I'm not a female, so I shouldn't have to do it.
Oh, man.
That's selfish.
That thing you said where it's like, that's not being true to myself if I pretended to like something I didn't like. Oh, my God. I've heard it. I've heard people say stuff like that. Oh, man. And they're the worst.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if everyone was true to themselves, we would have a very selfish society.
Right. And, like, nobody would get anything done ever. Yeah. So, yes. Very frustrating.
All right. What about your life lesson?
Do not plan on packing, especially for your wedding, when you're hungover like 2 hours before your flight leaves.
Oh, goodness.
That just sounds – it sounds – I mean, the whole thing of – to me, going out and drinking, and I'm not Jovi. But even going out, being like, hey, I got a flight to catch in 8 hours. You know what I want to be on that flight? Super hungover. Sounds amazing on my way to my wedding. Sounds like a great weekend.
Right. Well, some people are good about like sleeping a lot, right? And so to them, it wouldn't really matter. To me, I don't feel good.
Oh, it depends on how you get, I guess it's supposed, it depends on how you get hungover. Because when I get hungover, I'm just nauseous for like 24 hours.
It's my stomach and I would never want to be on a flight for that.
And I was like, oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. Same. Okay. So my life lesson, also inspired by Jovi and Yara, but it's more geared towards Yara. I feel like we see this specifically with our types of students with the subject we teach, but we cannot be vague with the immeasurable words, right? So saying things like, don't be long, don't be drunk, can be interpreted pretty widely, especially by Jovi. What does long mean? Well, long to Jovi probably is like 5 a.m. when he usually would roll in. Don't be drunk. Well, you know, Jovi didn't think he was drunk at your engagement party. So I feel like his drunk isn't the same as yours. You need to come up with a consistent, measurable thing. You need to be
measurable
specific.
Criteria and constraints.
Exactly. So I am the engineering part. So you need to give specific time. You will be home in 3 hours. You are allowed to drink 2 drinks, you know, like being very specific about things like that instead of, you know, too long. Don't get drunk.
Yes, because that's a relative thing. Like how long and how drunk is not the same for everybody. It's, and she knows that with Jovi.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So, I mean, I feel like we got to be wrapping up the season here soon, especially based on the next week. Yeah.
At least they're starting to talk about them.
Yes. There's actually plans. Like, and then Yara and Jovi are leaving for their destination wedding. So it's got to be like the next time we see them.
All right. So, yeah, who knows when we're going to be finishing
up this. We'll be back for this show next week, and our classic episode should start up soon.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
Take care, everybody.
Okay. Bye.